City Council Work Session, August 6th, 2019.
Wednesday, August 6th will now come to order. And the first item on our agenda is for public comments. Anyone wanting to make public comments to the council right now? All right, we'll go right into our agenda. And the first item is to review the nonprofit grant funding resolution. So Mike, I'll turn that over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, you know, we reviewed all the grant applications at our previous work session. We had the big binder, as you know. We have the resolution in tonight's packet for review again. And you know, we fund the nonprofits through a formula that what we have established by resolution. It's 1% of the general fund revenues budgeted. So again, not to exceed, not to exceed $175,000 for this year. So we've got 19 applications, of course. We chose to fund all of them, two of those through the Tourism Development Fund, which are the Aleutian Museum and the Maritime Museum. So it's on the schedule for the agenda for Thursday night to award. And I just want to make a note that we can fund these requests, but do we also fund these in-kind contributions to these organizations? And the number this year is $368,000 plus. So that's quite a benefit by exempting rent and water and sewer and for some electricity and fuel. But I'd like to keep note of that. Something we added to the resolutions in the past.
Is that the, I'm sorry, is that just the in-kind is $368,000?
Yeah.
Okay. In addition to the 175 in cash.
Exactly. So, you know, not only for us to be aware of that, but for the public to understand that, you know, the council supports these nonprofits and the work that they do, and we're going to continue to provide when we can. So, once again, it's on the Thursday night agenda.
Okay. Any questions from the council or comments? John?
I spoke my comments already. Could you break down the $35,503 to the Civil Air Patrol? And I'm glad you would say that, pick that up.
Yeah, fortunately I can.
What are they getting, the $35,000?
Oh, for the in-kind?
So the Alaska Wing of Civil Air Patrol receives a waiver on the sewer and water. Sewer is $1,010.64. $1,010.04. The water is $662.76. The land rent is $33,920.76 for a total in kind of $35,593.56.
Well, I understand all the others, they all make a lot of sense to me, but the Civil Air Patrol has other funding mechanisms, and I'd really like to hear from them. We could reach out to them, but we. Apparently, I'm sure we've been paying this year after year after year.
That's historic.
But I want to know what the benefit is to the community. You know, I understand Brother Francis Shelter, I understand the Humane Society and Head Start. Those make sense to me. But I also know what the Civil Air Patrol does. But we've never ever heard from them. And I would like to hear from them as to why we continue to support them. Well, are they funded by the Air Force, which I believe they are in part? What are we as a community getting for our $35,000?
So the in-kind contributions are not applications at all. It's just something that's been carried over from year to year. Mike and Charlie, I see your hand.
Yeah, and we found the latest Civil Air Patrol agreement from 2004. So 15 years ago, this could have been established at that time. I don't know for sure.
Probably. Yeah, it might be time. But if we go through this, we can maybe bring them forward. Is that what you're looking for, John?
Right. I know they house the Civil Air Patrol is also where they have the flying club, and this, which is a private entity. But you know, I would personally, if we're going to donate that type of money, I'd like to see what the correlation is back to the community and the taxpayer.
Okay. Charlie, yeah,
thank
and Terry.
My understanding is that they sometimes assist in rescue and stuff, and that they have a connection with the state in some way, and any time there's an emergency or something? Am I on a, why don't we just invite somebody from
there? Well, that's what I think John was estimating.
Yeah.
We invite them in and have them give us a report.
I've been a part of civil, I know what they do.
Okay.
But I didn't realize we were contributing that much. So I'd like to hear from them.
Sure. Sure, that's fine. Terry?
Or maybe if they can't show up, at least a rundown of what activities they have, you know, been doing over the last few years.
I know they have cadets, and they do some youth activities, which are probably of use to the community, but it'd be nice to have that feedback.
So if we have this report or have them on board, and the last date that you found was 2004, maybe it might be good to have a report from them and then invite them to a meeting that they can give that report.
Sure. So just the Civil Air Patrol, no one else.
Anyone else want someone to come in for any of the cash or the, I think we had the applications to review what we did for the cash, but are you interested in having anyone else come in for these in-kind contributions? No? Okay.
So I already see a benefit to the transparency of announcing this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else on the nonprofits? Okay, and that's on our agenda for Thursday night.
Right.
Okay, then we go to the State Homeland Security Grant Award.
So at the last regular council meeting, we just had received a notice of award of $586,000 in fiscal year 20 grants from the State Homeland Security Grant Program. And it was divided up into three different categories, you know, emergency cots for shelter, the radios for emergency services, and then the tsunami sirens. The tsunami siren award is about $250,000. So the other day I spoke with the Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management Earthquake and Tsunami Program Manager Dan Belanger, and Dan put in a NOAA grant for us as well for, I think, two sirens, or enough, two or three, the funding for to receive two or three sirens depends on the cost at that time. So, you know, we've been talking a little bit about, is there any interference to discuss this siren award, or, you know, we were told at one point, you know, don't fund it until you receive the award notice. Well, it's okay at this point. And, you know, the sirens are one of our high top priorities. And, you know, there was a moment there where there was going to be funded entirely through grants or through some other city funds. And so we're getting close to the award date, you know, likely October. Of course, the state of Alaska has to accept the federal grant, which hopefully will happen. So, do we want to provide an additional funding to fund these sirens? Like, I think we'll have, if we receive both grants, I think enough for six sirens of our 12 that we have recognized as a need. And I believe that does include Gibson Cove too, I believe. So I'm estimating another $400,000 would be needed to complete the project. We have an estimate of about $55,000 from a company that came up here to look at our site and scenarios and do testing. You remember that company that came, I don't recall their name right now, but you know, another $400,000 from the city funding, or wait for chance of additional funding in the next funding cycle, the grant cycle, or what should we do? I'm trying to just keep this ball in the air a little bit.
So I just have a question, and the council members may have too. So this federal grant money, does it have state matching money? Is that part of anything that Michael Away
I don't think so. I think it's all federal Homeland Security money.
Okay, straight.
That the state administers, the State Department of Homeland
Security. No state match or anything like that?
Not that I, no, no.
Okay, John?
If we were to use an enhancement fund to fund the other six, would we still be eligible to apply for a grant, or because we self-funded, would that preclude us from applying for a grant?
I don't, what I've heard before is no. Because, you know, a lot of the grants are reimbursable, so what are you going to do with, unless you're going to hold back receipts for a year, but I don't think that's possible, John.
So is it something that we could get the funding for if you say you're going to get it in October, and then probably be better to order all the sirens at once though, right? Is that what you're thinking?
That's an option, that we could replace all the sirens in one contract and be operational for years to come. And we take that off our list of potential downtime.
Then they're all the same age and everything else, the same kind. Charlie?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I like the idea of getting them done, getting the job done, even though the funding may not be forthcoming, if ever. I think it's an important enough situation in this subduction zone of the planet that we definitely have a priority, like we named it, and we should stick with that priority.
So what's the timing in securing the grant and signing the grant? What's the timing? Is it October?
We keep hearing October. October 1 is the date I hear.
So then we'd have to order the sirens and pay for them and then get reimbursed. Is that the process?
I think that's it's a reimbursable, so yeah, so we would start putting together an RFP or a bid proposal for, you know, area-wide sirens for the city, and then issue a contract, and the terms of the contract, whatever they are, if it's down payment or not, or upon completion. Sometimes there's progressive submittals, so you'd be paying along. And so once we make payments, or full payment, we could submit that for reimbursement. Is that very clear?
Yeah. John?
I suggest we go ahead and purchase all 12 on time for a number of reasons. One is, it'll never be cheaper than now. Another year from now, the same six sirens are going to be more expensive. You know, we'll have continuity between all 12, across all 12 models, versus having six of the new and multiple of the remaining six. So it makes more sense from community safety and like public safety perspective to all 12 at once. I would like a little more clarity though on this procurement process, to know what the timelines are for the funding, and also really just to get maybe a little clarity on the funding mechanism through the state and the timing. I know you kind of explained it, but I think maybe there's some wiggle room, and I'd like to maybe have some more clarity on what that grant is going to look like once, the timing of it, and then how we would pay for the first six, or how many we would get up front. So just so we clearly understand this, so there's no surprises when, you know, if there's any delays due to the state or the Homeland Security or whoever it is in releasing those funds.
Go ahead, Mike.
So some of the grant language is presented to us when we receive the grant award. So there's sometimes conditions on there. So I could try to find out what I can right now, and then hopefully that'll be the final grant. But most of these grants are all reimbursable, because they don't want to just give you $600,000 and hope you spend it on the list that you gave them. So you know, it would take several months to actually install them and put this out to bid. So maybe this time next year we're in operation. Maybe that's a realistic expectation. So we would be funding it, you know, this current fiscal year, some of it, and next fiscal year, the remainder, I guess.
So what we could do is, because these grant conditions are, you don't know what they are finally until you get the grant award and sign it.
Exactly.
And especially with reimbursable grants, because they're all kind of loopholes usually for that, just from little I know with those kinds of grants. So if we wait to get the grant and can read the fine print or the conditions, and then Mike brings that back and we can decide, I think that we just do this. This has been a priority with the council and use the enhancement fund for that. But you wouldn't be ordering anything, you would just be doing an RFP for this before you get the grant?
Oh yeah, yeah, we're not going to issue any award until we have all of our funding.
But you would do an RFP, going out to see what might be available.
Yeah, so I guess what I envision here is, if the council's ready, through another, set of explanations, we'll put together the paperwork now and get this ready to go. So come October, we have everything in hand and we can, literally push the send button and advertise for tsunami siren replacement and all the equipment that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the electronics in the dispatch, et cetera, and the ability to program them with our languages and our messages. These sirens are highly functional compared to what we have today. Not only are they made of different materials, but they have different capabilities. You can speak over them, you can test them. I think we've talked a lot about this, but you can just do a silent test to see that they're all working. It sends you a message back saying this one's having problems, here's what the problem is. It's self-diagnostic.
So let me just ask a question of the council. Would it be your intent to go forward with this, with all the going out for an RFP, so to use some of the enhancement fund or other funds are available, so that all the sirens would be replaced at one time?
Yes.
John?
I think that's a pretty
I just wanted to have that clear. Go ahead, John.
Well, I think maybe just for the public too, it would be helpful to have as best you can, as soon as you can, is a timeline from issuance of the RFP to projected completion of the project. If it's a 12-month period, but right now nobody's thinking about tsunamis because they're all running around in the sunshine. That's not their priority. But when tsunamis the priority, everybody thinks about it. And so I think it's our responsibility to keep this at least on the front burner for us. So it would be helpful for me, and again, we can disseminate this through the media and other ways, that to come up with a timeline from the RFP to development of the RFP, to the issuance of the RFP, to the award and everything else, so that people can see we're making progress in this.
I think that would be helpful for all of us to have, and people are asking questions, just so we would be following that as well.
You can absolutely do all
that.
Yeah,
that'd be helpful.
So now that I have some direction that we're looking at going forward with this, we can put it all our numbers together, and we can correspond with a couple of these companies and see what their availability is. We can nail this down.
Yeah, and then so the borough is not interested in replacing or going in on this at all. Is that correct?
That was the last conversation we had.
So maybe we better check again just to be sure. Just to understand that if they don't want to get on board, then that's fine. But maybe it might, since it's been a while, we can check with them just to be sure.
Yeah, I think a follow up with him, because we're going ahead. And it's sink or swim as far as I'm concerned on this thing. It's been on our table for a long time. And then we started getting psyched up about it after the visit from the GEO people.
Is someone else hearing this noise, or is it just me? Is it me? No.
No, it's the air hammer.
Oh, it's the air hammer. Okay, well, it's busy, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, it's not my hearing tools. Okay, anything else on that, Mike, or the council might have?
No, it'll take a little while to put all this together, and I just wanted to see where we're headed still, and October is a good date to be ready for it. So we'll bring this back together with a budget and a timeline for further discussion and where our funding source is going to come from, and put together as much information as we can for you to say, let's advertise this.
Okay, good. Okay, then we have the city property land appraisals. Quite a bit of information here.
Yeah, and page four, and through the continuance of the packet, is some sites that we have that we're working on lease agreements with. So we have the Pillar Mountain communication sites. Those are all identified in here. We have the municipal airport. We have the Trident Basin seaplane over on Near Island. And we have the Kodiak Shipyard area. The Kodiak Shipyard is in there. We're looking at renewal of those quarry permits. And besides, we're tasked with coming up with a business plan for the shipyard this year through council goals. And we'd like to know what the value is so we can determine how we're going to go about a plan for the shipyard, whether it's rent space out or sell space or contract with someone to operate the shipyard, whatever it may be. But in our city code, we talk about any leases need to have an appraisal. And I think we've foregone that over the years. It's not only costly, it's timely. So somehow lease agreements have been established by some sort of a method, right? Well, we've got many lease agreements out there. Like I said, we've got 15, I think, that we're doing right now. And the airport, the municipal airport, is going to be a template lease. That's in here, all the leaseholders in the airport, municipal airport, are in here, page 13 in my book here. There's 29 leases there, so we've got a lot of lease agreements to go for. So what we did was we reached out to McSwain Associates, LLC, out of Anchorage, and our deputy manager knows them, and that was the reason we called for a professional service. So we have quotes in here for each entity, about $10,000. The airport and the shipyard are a little higher at $12,000. So we wonder if the council wants to bring this forward at a later meeting for approval. We'll get this rolling. We'll get appraisals on all our property, which is probably overdue, and then we're going to plug some of those numbers that we get out of the appraisals into our agreements that the attorney's working on right now. And I've asked him to just do the language side of it. We're going to plug the pricing side in, and then we're going to issue all these contracts. Some of them are long overdue, like the municipal airport. Some of them are just recently expiring, and we've got requests not only for additional space down at Trident Basin, but also at the municipal airport. So try to get a good number on it, and it'll help justify all these new lease rental rates. We'll have some background. Like the council always says, how'd you get there? Well, here's how we got there.
Charlie and then Rich?
No, I just kind of compliment Seb. I think there's an excellent idea, and we definitely need to get that job done. We should have years ago, as far as I'm concerned, because each passing year we probably lose a little bit of the way me.
Rich?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is something that's needed to be done for a while. I think we talked about this a couple of years ago before Mark left, you know, that we really need to get this all taken care of. There's people who have called me, there's a number of people who want to lease all these properties. So we're waiting to see them come open. So it's a great idea.
Terry and then John?
Well, for the shipyard, I was wondering, as far as the travel list, do they just sort of do a blue book calculation of what its value would be, or do they kind of go around and kick the tires and check the hydraulics, kind of an assessment of the machine, I'm wondering?
Well, I'm sure they'll look at multiple aspects, but the shipyard runs the city runs the shipyard with the travel lift, but there's also the laydown area that we're talking about and the quarry value. What's the quarry worth? So those are all part of that whole plan over there. As we develop the quarry, we're going to make space that will be available for parking, infrastructure, whatever we want to do. And we've got a master plan from probably the first days of the shipyard that show buildings on that property that, you know, whether this is a dream or not, but it's indoor space, so you can bring a boat under a cover and work on it more days than not. Did I answer your question at all, Terry?
Well, I was wondering if they would be, you know, it's just assessing the machine, but I mean, that might be something that...
We're not going to focus on just the machine.
Right. Well, no, I mean, I wonder if it's just going to be more or less well, this travel lift is this old, and assuming it's in good condition, it's worth this much money. Probably, yeah.
I guess it's you can determine that fairly easily, because we know we paid for it, we know what the depreciation is. Yeah. So whatever, the balance off of the depreciation is what the book value of that thing is going to be.
I did have a comment about the municipal airport. So after we've done the appraisal on the airport, and we had talked about this some time ago, is to develop a business or a use plan for the airport, because that's kind of like a field that's been unplowed for years and years and years, and it's just been allowed for weeds to grow and people to park things that shouldn't be up there at the airport. And I think that could be a potential revenue generator for us, but it just hasn't, for a lot of reasons, good reasons, it hasn't been a focus. So I'd like to see us start to focus on that as an economic development zone for the community.
Also have asked for a business plan for the shipyard.
Yeah. So we've sent letters to the airport lessees, and we've followed up with a tightening of security over there. Now we've got another letter coming out that we're going to address the immediate concerns about the use of the airport again, making sure everybody starts, cleaning up their yards. There's been some of that. There's demand for additional space. Some of the revenue we receive off the new lease rates could develop just south of what we call the horseshoe area. There's some rugged terrain there, but it's on the west side of the airstrip that needs some work. But we could create additional hangar or tie down space there. And our goal is to improve that airport, whatever we determine is the necessary look. We're not going to make it an FAA airport. It doesn't quite qualify for that, and I don't think that's our goal. But we want to tighten up the use of the airport, and I think you insinuated there's some other uses out there besides airplane.
I'm not insinuating. I know that.
Okay. Okay. And we're aware of that too, and they know that. So we're continuing to work. I know our public works director is working with the individual people out there, and we've got, like I said, another letter right now ready to send, and this is all part of the plan we've been working on.
Good. It's good. It's getting done. Terry.
So assumably, you're going to be sort of requiring some certain things from the people who are leasing the lots out there, and after this assessment, their rate's probably going to go up, I would guess. And isn't it also true, I'm trying to remember, that they're undersized lots, essentially their buildings are kind of too big for the lots, or they're just, essentially when they cut them up, they should have made them a little bit bigger. Isn't that true?
I don't know. I think people have sprawled over their imaginary line, but I think the buildings are within the lots. I will comment that the lease rate right now is $398, $378 a year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say a month.
No.
That's what I thought.
So,
yeah. Wow.
How can I get one?
So the people do own their own hangars, though. We don't own the hangars.
Right.
Rich.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was hearing, is that there's a lot of the areas that their people own the hangars, but a lot of people don't use them for flying planes anymore, basically for storage. Mm-hmm. And how does that work? I mean, how does that work? I mean, they're on our property. It's not their property, but they own the hangars. How do you transfer that or get them out of there if you need them?
So we're redrafting the 2004, no.
1994.
Thank you. 1994 lease agreement. We're redrafting that and emphasizing the use of that airstrip is for air-related purposes. And I don't think all of those uses qualify under that.
Yeah. Terry and then John.
So does that mean you go around kicking people out if they are just using for storage, or do you sort of let, you know, raise their rates and assume that they might kick themselves out, or?
We're talking to each individual owner, you know, and addressing this. Some of them are very much waiting for this to happen. Others are acknowledging that they're looking for alternate space for storage. So we're working together with them. And I think that'll, well, I'd like to be optimistic thinking they'll self-comply, but the language that we're using in the new lease agreement will have enough teeth in it that if it's not airport related, there's no lease.
John?
Have you talked to the Coast Guard at all about an additional use of the airport, the runway as an alternate site? I know going in there with a heavy helicopter, and speak from experience, if you go in there and planes aren't tied down, and you go in there doing medevac, what you might be doing, there's a really good chance you'll turn airplanes over, or at least pepper every airplane with the rocks on the side of the road. So I'm going there, I wonder if there's any interest from the Coast Guard at some point for us to have a dedicated helipad over there to have a better landing spot for emergencies, emergency landing spots or medevac landings.
I haven't spoken to the Coast Guard about the use of the airstrip. I know Chief Mulligan has, because that's an emergency spot. So, do you have anything to share, Chief?
John, if correct, we've used it multiple times. I've heard the Coast Guard and the bringing high cases for transport to the hospital. It's a safer place for them to land for us to get them to the hospital. But as you pointed out, there's issues with the airport that they repetitively have out. Brownouts is a big problem. So when they come in the road wash on the south end of the runway, they can't land on that. So we've got it set up where they're landing on the north end of the runway closest to Bunch Chili, because it's paved up there, but it's without lights. So it has all of its other issues that go on to it. But I've been in contact with them multiple times, trying to find grants and stuff that nature that we can possibly plug in to Craig and whatnot, so we can put some lights, whatever, up there to improve that, so we can utilize it, since we've lost the lights.
The ultimate motive from suggesting that is it would help increase the level of professionalism of the airport if we have a dedicated helo pad out there and ties us back into the Coast Guard. I'd like to see if we could just at least see if there's interest or maybe there's funding for it through some source.
Okay.
The pad and Spruce Cape is not being used? Is that what you said, Jim?
Yeah, it hadn't been used for a while, and I believe Burl sold it.
Oh.
So it's no longer a usable asset. So the municipal airport becomes our primary.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know.
It was hard to get into because you had limited access. You could only come in from one way. You could only go out one way, which means you kind of had to go out backwards sometimes.
Okay. What else do we have on this? It sounds like we're moving forward and certainly need to for 25 years.
So do you want to put this on the regular meeting schedule to for award?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on that note, Mike?
If there's any more questions, otherwise I don't have any more.
Okay. Elected officials training travel requests?
I distributed the packets tonight to those who are traveling to the summer AML in Soldotna. And the next travel will be until November, and the budget says that the mayor is budgeted to attend the AML fall conference, and also three council members and one council member to attend a newly elected officials training. and I will be bringing this up again sometime in October. The deadline to receive the discount for registration is October 18th. So near close to that date, I will bring it up again.
Okay.
And that's all I have. Thank you.
Council comments, questions? Okay, we'll go right to the packet then. And the first item under unfinished business is a public hearing and second reading on the amendment to the NOAA office. Mike?
So this is at Pier 2. NOAA leases about 5,400 square feet. And the lease agreement has expired. We've done a continuing resolution, might say, a standstill agreement to continue the lease until we approve it. Like we said, Thursday night is the second reading, and then it will be 30 days beyond that before it's approved. But I know we've spoken very regularly with NOAA, and they know the authorization is on the Thursday night meeting. So I don't know if there's anything more I can add other than the rental rate is $114,744 a year. Once again, it's at Pier 2. It's part of that big building, and it's they lease a portion of the warehouse on Pier 2.
Okay, questions or comments? It's the second reading. Okay, and then we'll go to new business, and it's the first reading for Ordinance 1389, and that is the new section on excusing mayor and council members non-attendance when they're on city business. So I don't know if this is Nova or Mike who's doing this.
Well, I've got a small report here.
Okay.
So the purpose is to implement a change to the charter, I guess, by allowing absence for council business. Personally, I think it's a good idea. I don't usually give my personal opinion too often, but it doesn't seem fair to be pining for the city and be dinged for not attending a regular meeting, although somehow we've been able to dodge that mostly. But I think it's an easy fix, is what I'd say.
Okay, comments or questions on that? And this is the first reading, so it'll come up again.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, resolution 2019-12, and that's harbor fees and charges.
So we initiated in 2017 a five-year rate structure, and the last this year through resolution 2019-10, we approved a rate structure that some of us thought was not correct, and it wasn't. The rate structure was already described out, and let me find the page here, page 27, somewhere in that range, there's the fee structure. I guess
page
it's on
32.
Page, yeah, 30, yeah, 32, 33, 34. Those are the rates for per year, 2017, 2018, 19, 20. So anyway, this is going to be a correction to get us back in line with that rate structure that we did previously approve. So we're going to amend that resolution with a new resolution. If we don't, we have to amend the original resolution because we're not following that structure. So this is a correction. So some of it's going up and some of it's going down, but these are the accurate increases verified this time. And I apologize for the error. Fortunately, it was discovered, and I think Mr. Witten asked at one of the meetings about looking at our rate structures, and so we determined that we're going to do this in January, all of our rate structures, and make sure we're back online, and then hopefully avoid any conflict like this, but I apologize for that.
No, but did you have anything else to add to this? No? Okay. Comments or questions? Okay, then we go to the resolution for the nonprofit organization grants. Anything else after our discussion earlier? All right. And then the bid award for the leasing the office equipment for Xerox.
So we had two proposals for copy machines for the departments, administration offices at City Hall, the Public Library, the Harbor Office, and the Kodiak Police Department. For some reason I seem to think there should be a fire one in there, but maybe not. Office Tech, which is Xerox, and then Konica Minolta were the two proposals. We scored those RFPs with the needs that we have for each department, and we recommend Xerox. Some of the rates are a little different, you might notice, per department. That's because they had special needs, and the machines are kind of add-on, so they could function under those needs, such as stapling and folding, and you know, the City Hall office needs a little different machine than the Harbor office, so that's why you'll see a difference in price. But it's budgeted and it was planned. This is a 5-year lease.
Comments or questions? Okay, then we go to the next one, which is Cisco phone system bid award.
Okay, these are all of our city phones that we use. There's two things here. The $77,903 is the base bid, which updates our servers, our software, and our analog gateways. And so what that is going to do is you know, fix the inside of the telephone system for us. We had an optional quote we requested, and that was for $21,785, and that's going to replace the actual phones. Had we not had enough money, we were going to just go with the software updates, but the phones we're going to replace will be six conference phones, 72 single line phones, and 51 multi-line phones. And then the city's IT department will install those once our software updates are complete. Like I said, they'll just install those as they can, as they have time. And we expect 10 years of life from this upgrade.
How old are the phones that we have now?
I guess 10 years old.
10.
Yeah.
Questions or comments? John?
Do we operate off a fiber optic system, or is it just a regular line system?
We have internet, and we have AT&T phone service.
Right, but how is it delivered to the building? Is it fiber, or is it?
I don't know that, John.
I'm just wondering, is it, when we're at the airport, they deliver the fiber off the airport, and we actually had a system through GCI and all these different Cisco routers, which actually substantially increased the speed and the capabilities of the system. So I was just curious how the signal is delivered to the building.
Maybe we'll have that for Thursday night.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, and then we have the 3-year service agreement for uninterruptible, that's an interesting word, power supply.
Yeah, so at the Kodiak Police Department, we have a room that has all of our, this is the battery backup, basically is what this is, uninterruptible power supply. So it helps with all of our spikes in power, and it keeps us running if we lose power, estimated 24 hours of uninterruptible service they can provide. The system is responsible for the 911 system. This would back up the 911 system, the city phone system, all servers, the radios, cameras, and computers at KPD. So it's important for any of that electronic equipment to have this And then later in the meeting, next, mm-hmm. we're talking about a service agreement. Oh, this is it. Oh, yeah, I was thinking we could have done the opposite. This is not the batteries, this is a service agreement, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, so that's different.
Yeah, this
so is. So related to the next one?
Yes,
item?
They're both okay. related, yeah. One, this is the service agreement for the next item, which is the batteries.
Okay.
We've had an agreement with this company for since we bought these original batteries, which is I don't think it's quite 10 years, but close to that. And now this company will again continue to monitor our system and keep it running for us. I learned something today about what a didn't I write that down? The VRLA batteries, they have a valve that releases the gases but prevents any oxygen from getting in to destroy the battery. So that's how they get their long life. They're a sealed battery. Plus they're indoors, of course, but special for this purpose.
Okay, any questions on those uninterruptible power supplies? I like that word.
That's a three-year agreement. So we've had one-year agreements in the past. We're going to three-year agreement.
Okay.
For somewhat of a...
And so you covered both F and G.
I did, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I always thought that...
That's fine. Then we'll go to, I'm very pleased to see this, the pavement repairs for Fond Seeley.
Yeah, so we...
It is rough.
It is bad.
We budgeted for some pavement repairs. We chose to work on Von Cheely Drive. They're going to remove and replace the paving there from Mill Bay to just, well, to the end of our property. And it's just past the pavement, I think it is.
Yeah, into the recycle.
Yeah, up to the recycle, I guess. Center.
So. Every time I ride with my husband on that street, he complains about it.
And it looks like you can
play. So we have the money for it. We actually have enough to do this. We'll have a small surplus.
Good.
Right now we have 476, almost 477,000 for this. And I will say that our public works director reached out to other off-island neighbors mm-hmm. to see if they were interested. We called four, and they weren't interested in the size of the project.
Small project.
Yeah, so there's just the one sole source right now. That's why we're using that under city code. We're allowed to do that. So we're not just awarding a contract. We did do some research, and people thanked us, but no thanks.
Okay. Anything else, Mike?
No.
Any council members, you have questions or comments? Okay. We're done, and then we'll be here Thursday, not here, but we'll be in the assembly chambers Thursday night.
Lots of fans. Lots of fans.